Merrill.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Are you the only one on so far?
I think so, yes.
Okay. I don't think we've met. I've kind of heard your voice the last few weeks. I've had a sick husband, so I've missed some classes. But I'm glad you've joined us.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So my name is Merrill, and yeah, I just have come to this recently again.
Okay. All right.
I hope he's
knew
better.
A little girl named Merrill. I don't suppose you'd be little Merrill all grown up.
You never know, especially in these classes. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Where did she grow up?
Merrill,
where did you know her?
She joined the family of the Surkoff family.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
We'll be starting with section 36A, Pasuk 448. I'll start with the Lashem Yehud, and then the Aramaic. Lashem Yehud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bitchilu, Urshimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urshimu, Liachta, Lashem, Yudhe, Bobavhe, the Yehuda, Shalim, Bishem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kanunei aleinu maasei yadeinu kanuneihu. Pasuk 448. Ela b'matnita tutima'a b'ilan tamina kad mitcha b'ran yud b'hei k'dein k'tiv Benahar Yotze, Meden Lahashkot, Et Hagan, Willa Tema, Kad Mithaberan, Ela Mithaberan, Badai Ugin Kach Ben Chorin, Kitty Vialda, Ashrech Eretz Shamalkech. Ben Chorin v'sarayich ba'etz yokelu v'chedvavta v'shlimu v'ra'wa. The translation? If so, then why is it written a free man? We have learned the answer in our secret Mishnah. When the Yud and the Hay are united, it is written, and a river went out of Eden, which is there on tin, to water the garden. It does not say when they are united, but assuredly they are united. Therefore it is written the son of a free man. This then is the reason why the verse describes Zerantin. Blessed are you, land, when your king is a free man, and your princes eat in due season, namely with pleasure and contentment. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as it is written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions, comments, thoughts.
The phrase in due season is just the 10 days of all. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, kind of what we talked about when we said that Hashem was sometimes complete and sometimes incomplete.
Well, Hashem is complete when he is united with Malchut, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he becomes a free man. But what does it mean to be the son of a free man? And this verse is describing that level of consciousness called the son of a free man. when Zerantin is a free man, meaning it's united with Malchut, that's when the princes, which are the children of Israel,
mm-hmm.
are able to eat in due season with pleasure and contentment. What is the season that people eat?
The three times a year that
they're commanded to go to Jerusalem to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those holidays have specific meals and specific items that come out of the offerings, as well as, you know, like the Paschal offering on Pesach and the dairy offerings and the grain offering, the first fruits on Shavuot, and eating in the Sukkah during Sukkot.
Mm-hmm. So it's all the seasons being the due season, not... It's not eating once a year.
It's mm-hmm. not eating once a year. Each season has its own connection. There are four seasons, but the growing season is basically summer, because spring has passed Pesach. Shavuot is at the end of spring, moving towards summer, and Sukkot is in autumn. Uh-huh. So the only time we don't have a season of eating is when, according to the Bible, according to the Torah, we don't have it in the winter. But we have, in the winter, we have revealed the energy of Hanukkah,
mm-hmm.
which really is the revelation of the Organus, as we'll learn over, as we talk again about the energy of Kislev. So even in the fourth season, when we're not supposed to go, you know, we're not commanded to go to Jerusalem, we still have a holiday there.
Right. Okay.
And this pasuk is really relating to the previous one that we did yesterday.
Right.
The two that we did yesterday.
Well, it was good you reviewed it with us, too. So, thank you.
Any other questions?
I'd say only if you see something else that we're missing that you want to talk about and read us on.
Okay.
What about the term secret Mishnah? Is that...
What is a Mishnah?
An explanation. You know.
Well, actually, it's not. A Mishnah is the same letters as Neshama.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
What we have learned the answer in our secret Mishnah, but the Mishnah is, generally speaking, every verse in the Zohar is a Mishnah. So why would they translate the word secret in the Zohar? The Hebrew word for secret is sod, as you know, and that typically refers to the Kabbalah. So when it is saying secret Mishnah, it's referring to something that is taught in the Zohar. And we've read and defined the term free man in the earlier two verses, which are Mishnahs. Each verse in the Zohar is considered a Mishnah, as opposed to the Talmud that has both contents, that of the Mishnah, and then the explanation of the Mishnah, which is the Gemara.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I think we always kind of think of it as the Talmud, so that was why I asked the question.
No, it's a valid, absolutely valid question. And as you know, there are no invalid questions. So I didn't mean to imply that it wasn't a valid question. It very much is.
Oh, I didn't take it as that. Not at all.
Okay.
This time of the day when you've been up since 5 o'clock and you got 3 hours sleep and you've worked all day, you're not sure if the words that come out of your mouth are even normal questions, so don't worry about it.
Well, Anna, you always have normal questions, and they're always very good, so I appreciate them. So, verse 449. Ila Heretch Shem Alcha Nar Heretch Deal Tata Bitanya Koshar Are Dishar Namin Ahom Eat Tiklu Lerav Ravin Tiresin Dimanam Alaihu Wiela Mikal Ho Hahu Tikti Beya Naar Haiti Gam zakanti, betana haikira, saro shel olam, amaro vialda kotiv, ilach eret shem alkech, nar vadi lealma, demasitria, dayanka, Bekad Yisrael Bagaluta Yankin Kiman Yannik Mershuta Achara. The translation. The verse, "Woe to you, land, when your king is a child," refers to the land down below, namely the Nukva, that is the world of Bria, who is the wife of Memtet. For we have learned that all the lands that belong to nations that worship the stars and constellations are ruled by the governors, and the highest of them all is he of whom it is written, I have been young and now am old. And we have also learned that the verse was spoken by the governor of the world, namely Memtet, who is called a lad. Of him it is written, woe to the land when the king is a child. Woe to the world that draws its nourishment from this aspect, namely the aspect of Memtet. But when Israel are in exile, they draw their nourishment from him, as one who feeds on a stranger, because Israel are supposed to derive their sustenance from the Holy One, blessed be he, and not from Memtet. My commentary. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. This pasuk explains code words in various verses, verses that were discussed in the earlier pasukim. Questions, comments, thoughts.
So it's telling us that because we're in exile, that we're under Memtet, or I should say the angelic ministry, which is one could be, well, from that world, a Briah would be Memtet.
The way to understand the government of the universe is there's Hashem at the top of the hierarchy. And another phrase or word for Hashem is Zeranpin. And underneath Zeranpin, or underneath Hashem, are the 70 angelic ministers, which in this verse is called a governor. And so Hashem provides sustenance that it receives from the higher worlds, Bina and Chachma. Hashem receives the sustenance and allows it to flow through Hashem to the 70 angelic ministers. And then the angelic ministers provide that sustenance to their nation. A person of a particular nation, wherever they live in the world, is receiving it, his or her sustenance from the angelic minister. The children of Israel are supposed to receive their sustenance directly from Hashem without having to go through an intermediary. But that only occurs in the land of Israel. When the children of Israel are in exile, Hashem is giving additional nourishment, additional sustenance to each of the angelic ministers with instruction to provide for the children of Israel while they are in exile. But the angelic ministers siphon off some of that additional sustenance. Because why should they provide the service to the children of Israel when the children of Israel are in exile because of the sins that they did, the mistakes they made, the idol worshiping or the various aspects, not tithing, all of the things that we know we did wrong. So this idea of Memtet, he is the head of the 70 governors, the 70 ministers. And so when we are in exile, the children of Israel are in exile, we are receiving our sustenance from the angelic ministers who are following the orders of Memtet. And what is Memtet? Memtet is the race of angels called Michael who have connected to and assimilated the human being Hanoch ben Yared, Hanoch who walked with God, who lived 365 years and so forth, as we've talked about a few times. But it's only when you are living in the land of Israel, and that can be physically living in the land of Israel, or it can be consciously living in the land of Israel, that you receive your sustenance directly from Hashem. It's pure, it's more fulfilling, and so forth. So is that as clear as mud?
No. It was a review of what you've taught us over a long period of time.
We've talked about all of it, and yet here it comes in directly in a completion form in this verse. All the things are being brought together.
I didn't remember that he was in the, Memtet was in the world of Briah, though. I don't have that connection.
Memtet is the head of the world of Briah, and Sandalphon is the head of the world of Yetzirah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions, or should I go on?
Well, I'm thinking one of the very first books, when I went to the library many, many years ago, which in Lake Charles, there were only 5 Jewish books in our library, our city library. And I've kind of forgotten the name of the one, but anyway, there was a whole, I think it was the Essential Talmud, it just struck me. And there was a whole chapter on angels. And of course, I was teaching at the time and teaching young children. And the comment was in that text was that Memtet was in charge of the children. And so now I see that children didn't necessarily mean little children, it meant children of Israel. But I didn't catch it at that time. So I always felt like I had the protection of, and I didn't, you know, I didn't know him to be called Memtet. And it, I know one time on the playground, I had taken the children out for us to practice doing tug of war and some of the other things. No one else was out on the playground. And the rope around one of the children, it was way too tight, and he was gasping, and I hurried to the end of the rope and, you know, pulled him loose. And I don't know, I had the sense that I was able to do that, and I was all by myself on the playground. No one else was around, and it could have been a very serious, serious accident. And I felt like I had learned that bit of information from reading from that one little Jewish book of 5 in our city in a public library. Whether or not it was Memtet, I don't know, you know. But at that time, that's what I took it to be. So.
Well, there's a lot of the Christian bring up, you call it a Jewish book, but as you know, it's a lot of Christian input into those types of books.
Oh, the Essential Talmud? I wouldn't have thought so.
If the Talmud was in English, yes.
Okay.
There's only two translations of the Talmud that would be considered strictly Jewish. One is from the Art Scroll, and one is from, it started out with, for the Koran one. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two that would be considered strictly Jewish if you're reading it in English. There is a Talmud on where they literally typed the Art Scroll Talmud onto a website, and I always forget the name of that website. I ran across it a few times, but they also made comments, but they were clear on when they were commenting and what was the original English from the Art Scroll Talmud. But as we've talked many times, you have to be aware of the translator's agenda. What are they? Mm-hmm. Where are they coming from, and what are they trying to prove?
Well, if I remember, it was sections in English, you know, translating what was in the Talmud.
Right.
Later, I started getting some of the texts. I remember the first one had to do with the blessings.
Well, that's the first section of the Talmud. It's called Brachot. It means blessings, as you know.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that that's the only thing that they talk about in that section.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll look. That was the part that ministered to me at the time. But I still have it on my shelf. I'll look and check it over.
Okay. See,
you know, a lot of these things I read 35 years ago, you know. I'm surprised I remember anything out of it.
Yeah, that's what happens when you study the Zohar, Tana. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
The more you study the Zohar, the more you remember other things. We're out of time, so our 10 o'clock, our 7 o'clock class tonight will be some more of the Ari's material on Toldot, because I think it's really very interesting. And
Hannah,
you all have a good evening.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you. Well, we had a question.